This mindfulness talk was created by the Boundless Love Project for your benefit. We freely share this talk and other helpful resources at boundlessloveproject.org because your happiness makes us happy. Enjoy!
Greetings and welcome, animal advocates. It's a pleasure to speak with you today. I want to thank you all for your love and compassion for animals and for all of your kind efforts to alleviate their suffering. What you do for animals is truly praiseworthy, and I can't thank you enough for all that you do. Before we get into the talk, let's take a mindful pause to help center and ground ourselves. I will start and end it with a chime. Gently move your body into a strong, confident, powerful, and relaxed posture. If able, lovingly place one hand on your heart and one on your belly. Kindly anchor your awareness on the sensations of breathing. Slowly breathe in through the nose, if able, deep into the belly for about 5 seconds. Now slowly exhale for about 5 seconds while keeping awareness on the sensations of breath. Continue to mindfully rest awareness on the breath as you breathe 10 or so slow, deep, effortless belly breaths. Allow these mindful breaths to soothe the mind and body and create a sense of well-being. At the same time, calmly hold a body posture that makes you feel strong, courageous, powerful, and confident. If it feels safe to, and if it helps you direct your focus inward, you may close your eyes during this mindful pause. Continue to rest awareness on the sensations of breath. Let all thoughts, sounds, and sensations run in the background of your awareness. All you need to do right now is kindly focus attention on the sensations of breathing. Feeling calm and grounded, let's set some loving intentions for our time together. May giving or listening to this talk be an act of love that benefits all people, all animals, and all life forms everywhere. My name is Freeman Wicklund, and I serve as the mindfulness teacher at the Boundless Love Project. As a queer person, I am happy to use they, she, or he pronouns. I live on Dakota lands in a suburb of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and stand in solidarity with my Indigenous siblings in their efforts to protect their cultures, communities, and lands. I've been involved with animal advocacy for 3 decades. I've served as the Director of Campaigns for Mercy for Animals and as a humane educator for several organizations, including Compassionate Action for Animals and the Institute for Humane Education. Following nonviolent principles and the example of Patty Mark in Australia and her group Animal Liberation, in 2001 I helped organize the first open rescue of battery-caged hens in the United States. Today, what I would like us to do is explore this idea of beloved community. Through this exploration, I want to discuss how understanding the beloved community can help us be better activists and be better human beings. I want to show how it helps guide us to be more kind, more compassionate, more effective, and more joyful in our activism and in life. The beloved community represents the society we seek to create through all of our social, environmental, and animal justice advocacy work. It is a global community where all people, animals, and ecosystems thrive. The term beloved community was first coined and defined in the early 1900s by philosopher Josiah Royce. The idea was popularized by Dr. Martin Luther King during the Civil Rights Movement, and it continues to guide and serve movements to this day. Now let's turn to deepening our understanding of beloved community through an activity. With your eyes opened or closed, I want you to just imagine that all of your campaigns have been wildly successful and that the society of your dreams now exists on a global scale. And I just want you to spend some time visualizing or imagining what that society looks like. And we all know that all beings want to be safe, peaceful, and happy. So what would a world look like that allows all beings to be safe, peaceful, and happy? And as you imagine or visualize this community, you can do this at whatever scale or whatever way works best for you. And as you think about beloved community, I'm going to ask you some questions to help clarify some aspects of it for you. So in this community, are animals abused or neglected? Do factory farms, fur farms, or slaughterhouses exist? Do people treat all animals with dignity and respect? Are any animals exploited? Does racism, sexism, or any form of discrimination exist in this society? Do people live in poverty or suffer from hunger? Are any people exploited? Are toxic wastes and pollutants dumped into the air, water, or lands? Is the global community carbon neutral? Are ecosystems exploited? And what about violence? Does violence exist in any form in your global beloved community? Are there wars, mass shootings, gang or militia violence, capital punishment or other state-sanctioned violence? Do people wish for others in the community to be harmed or harbor ill will towards them? And when people disagree in this society, how are disagreements resolved? Is this done peacefully with communication and understanding in through dialogue, or is this done through more violent means? And what else is this society of your dreams like? Keep imagining and visualizing. Hopefully you're developing a sense of how people behave in the beloved community of your dreams. And now that you have an understanding of their behavior, ask yourself, why do they behave this way? Are there masses of police or shock troops patrolling the streets, enforcing these ways of living? Or do people live this way voluntarily, out of love, respect, and compassion for each other and all life? Thank you for doing that exercise. If you have not envisioned the beloved community before, it can be hard. You may have even noticed your mind having a hard time accepting that such a place is possible. However, I really want to encourage you to think of this beloved community often until it becomes easier for you to bring to mind. As Martin Luther King encouraged us to do, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. If we clarify in our mind's eye the society we are trying to create, it informs us on how best to move forward to realize that society. If we know where we are going, it makes it way easier to get there. If we recognize the beloved community as our end goal, we can align all of our actions and advocacy with this end goal. Otherwise, our campaigns may unwittingly take us further away from creating beloved community. So we really need to keep imagining this future that we seek. And the more we do this, the deeper our understanding of it will grow, and the more it will help inform us on how to move forward. It may seem bizarre, but the way we make beloved community real is by behaving as if it already exists. We become model citizens of the beloved community and make our affinity groups, organizations, and movements model institutions of the beloved community. And in this way, we start creating the beloved community right here on Earth, right now. By living as if the beloved community is already here, we keep doing our work as animal advocates and at the same time open our awareness to find ways of operating that are more kind, more compassionate, and more loving. For example, we commit to campaigning using exclusively nonviolent means. We vigilantly and constructively engage in practices to kindly heal any sexism, racism, ableism, or other forms of discrimination found within ourselves and our movement. We do our best to reduce our ecological footprint, and so on. Animal advocates may feel like all of this is a distraction, but in a universe where we are interconnected and interdependent, piecemeal thinking will not heal the various pieces, and it certainly won't heal the whole. For example, if a group of people only cared about fur-bearing animals, it is conceivable that an anti-fur campaign could hold a pig roast to raise funds for their campaign. Of course, those of us who care about the well-being of animals would be saddened by such a thing. In the same way, if people only cared about the well-being of animals, it is conceivable that they could use violence in an effort to end animal suffering. As a movement that appeals to people's better nature, such violence would undermine our moral authority and scare off the general public. Still, such a scenario is conceivable. Yet when we activists understand the end goal to be beloved community, we realize that all acts of violence, hostility, discrimination, and arrogance take us further away from the beloved community we are trying to create. It gives us a clearer goal as well as a clearer understanding of what it will take to get us there. A helpful way to think about this is in terms of planting seeds and amending the soil. We can think of each of our campaigns and actions for animals as planting seeds in the ground. These seeds, when they grow, will help us create the changes we want to see for animals. But what if the soil they are planted in is barren and dead? Then those seeds will not grow. However, when we align all of our actions with the beloved community, that is like amending the soil and making the soils more healthy and fertile. Then, not only will the seeds we plant take root and grow, but it will also help ensure that all of the seeds planted by all of the people working for peace and justice and beloved community will also take root and grow. As was said before, the way we make beloved community real is by behaving as if it is already here and becoming a model citizen of the beloved community and creating model organizations, institutions, and movements that operate in alignment with the beloved community. Given all this, it's helpful to turn to really naming 5 defining characteristics of the beloved community that come from the civil rights movement and many movements for peace and justice that have embraced this idea. So let's look at those 5 defining characteristics now. First of all, given that every being's shared desire is to be peaceful, happy, and safe, the beloved community describes a practical, realistic, and achievable society. Now, when you first try imagining beloved community, you may encounter some mental resistance to it by thoughts saying, you know, that's not possible, this is ridiculous, or whatever. But why is it so hard to believe? You know, if all of us at our core want to be peaceful, happy, and safe, why would it be so hard to create a world where everyone gets their needs met? And what's stopping us from creating such a world? When I reflect on what's stopping the beloved community from arising, I think it is our individual and collective greed, judgment, and all of the falsehoods we believe. To me, those seem like the major stumbling blocks to creating beloved community. Now, you may come up with different answers, and that's fine. The way I see it, we live in an interconnected world where all life is equally important, and where we need to cherish, honor, and wish the best for all life. So for me, to create beloved community, we need to let go of greed. We need to let go of all of our feelings of superiority towards others, and we need to be committed to speaking, knowing, and living the truth. Having this awareness, it really inspires me to do my own inner work so that I'm better able to let go of my greed, my arrogance, judgment, hatred, anger, falsehoods, and all the other stuff that arises in my mind and gets in the way of creating beloved community. I think it's fair to say that to create beloved community, we all need to do our inner work. That may be a combination of meditation, contemplation, communing with nature, prayer, chanting, yoga, journaling, and other practices that help us purify our minds and hearts. Moving on to the second characteristic. In the beloved community, conflict still exists, but it is resolved peacefully, nonviolently, and without hostility, ill will, or resentment. In the beloved community, there will still be a diversity of thought and opinions, and people will still disagree with each other. At the same time, we will have developed healthy processes for resolving conflict without creating ill will, hatred, or resentment. As activists, can we oppose the harmful behavior of others without shaming or villainizing them or degrading their inherent dignity and worth? Can we affirm their dignity and worth as a feeling being while kindly critiquing and opposing their behaviors that cause harm? Can we treat those who disagree with us with kindness, politeness, and civility as family members who in their confusion do great harm to animals? I know this is a tall order to have compassion for people who cause harm to animals, so I want to share a few tips that you may find helpful. One is the slogan, "If not for my good fortune, I would be them." Take anyone who you have difficulties with and remind yourself, "If not for my good fortune, I would be them." If I had been born into their family, had been raised to believe what they believe, had all their life experiences, and had suffered the way they suffered, then I would be doing the exact same thing. It is only through my good fortune that I learned what I learned and had the means to adopt a way of life that does not harm animals. and that good fortune was caused by forces outside of my control. This slogan reminds us of the impersonal nature of everyone's situation and allows us to let go of the blame and judgment. A second approach is to imagine the innocent infant inside them. This approach was used a lot during the Civil Rights Movement, and how it works is we imagine the person we're having difficulties with as a newborn baby. As a newborn, they are free of all prejudices towards animals. And then we imagine what sort of abuse, neglect, suffering, and trauma they must have experienced to get where they are now, where they can inflict violence on innocent animals. How must that innocent and pure heart of theirs been twisted to bring them to this place? By remembering their suffering in this way, we can feel compassion for them instead of anger or hatred. A third approach is to remember our own shortcomings. You know, I grew up eating animals and fishing. It took me years to give up fishing, to learn about factory farming and adopt a vegan diet. Recalling our own shortcomings helps keep us humble and reminds us that we all have the ability to change. Finally, it is helpful to remember that some of our most outspoken animal advocates were former cattle ranchers, dairy farmers, animal researchers, and hunters. We may be tempted to write some people off as beyond help, but understanding the beloved community encourages us to not give up on anyone. A third characteristic of the beloved community is that we appreciate and recognize the inherent worth and value of all people, animals, and ecosystems. All beings, including ourselves, our fellow activists, the public, and our opponents, want to be safe and live in peace. So we respect ourselves. We consciously choose to love ourselves unconditionally. We compassionately accept our shortcomings and use them as jumping-off points to grow. We take care of ourselves. We get proper sleep, hydration, nutrition, and devote time to spiritual growth. This could include meditation, prayer, journaling, communing with nature, and so on. We respect other activists. We find and work in an affinity group that supports our values. We respect the dignity of other activists, even if they do their activism differently than we do. Disagreements are handled with civility and kindness on our part, even if they treat us with cruelty and contempt. Animal protection is difficult enough on its own. When we don't treat each other with dignity and respect, it can make the work unbearable and cause people to burn out and leave the movement. Let's consciously commit ourselves to honor, respect, and support one another. We also respect the general public. We realize that they have the capacity to change, and so we always relate to them with friendliness and an inclusive and welcoming and respectful manner. And finally, we respect our opponents. Rather than seeing those who harm animals as bad people, we need to see them as suffering people who are confused about what is truly needed to be happy. To the degree that they are cut off from their compassion and love for animals, they suffer isolation, loneliness, fear, apathy, and disconnection. They mistakenly think that the harm they cause others contributes to their happiness. We need to gently, lovingly, and sometimes assertively show them another way to live that allows all of them and all beings to be genuinely happy. By appealing to their better nature and modeling compassion and kindness, we can show our opponents how they can get their needs met while all other beings get their needs met too. A fourth characteristic of the beloved community is that its members are motivated by kindness, compassion, and love for all life. When we focus on who harms the animals, we tend to judge them, and anger and hatred fuel our motivation. Now, anger and hatred are powerful forces, but they are also destabilizing. If we let anger and hatred dictate our reactions, we can become arrogant, violent, and cruel. If we feel anger and hatred frequently, it can be hard on the body and lead to the body suffering illness and disease more frequently. To control anger and hatred, we must expend more energy, and when they are present, it is much harder to remain kind, compassionate, and reasonable. In contrast, we can be motivated by our love and compassion for animals, as well as for our opponents. As motivation, love and compassion are far more powerful than hatred and anger, and they do not destabilize us. They give us courage and energy to take risks and take strong actions, and they do this while allowing us to remain kind, compassionate, reasonable, and in control. So the beloved community reminds us to be mindful of what motivates us. And it reminds us to consciously choose to be motivated by love and compassion rather than hatred and anger. And that's not to say that there's anything wrong with hatred and anger. They just don't serve us. Hatred and anger will still arise in us, and that's fine. When it does, we need to do our best to channel that energy into constructive uses like exercise or physical labor. And we would be wise to mindfully notice the patterns of what thoughts generate anger and how anger works and feels in the body and what actions anger prods us to do. The more we see how anger doesn't serve us, the less willing we are to cling to or identify with these patterns, and the easier it is to let it go. Training ourselves to be consistently motivated by love is a lifelong process, and many find meditation helpful in this effort. The fifth characteristic of the beloved community is that the means we use to create change are just as kind and compassionate as the ends we seek. In the beloved community, means and ends are the same. This means we renounce all methods of violence, whether physical, mental, or emotional violence. We do not use physical violence to support our cause. We do not engage in hostile acts either. We don't insult others or attempt to humiliate, shame, punish, embarrass, or annoy others. We do not engage in property destruction or vandalism unless required to immediately stop harm and as an act of civil disobedience. In campaigns where we engage in civil disobedience, we break unjust laws or just laws unjustly applied, and we do so openly, lovingly, and with a willingness to accept the consequences. In this way, we show our high regard for the law as well as our commitment to the safety and positive peace of our communities. We willingly accept the fines, imprisonment, and other hardships of risking arrest as the price needed to raise the conscience of the people and create social change for animals. Our commitment to nonviolence and to unconditional and all-inclusive kindness and goodwill allows the beloved community we're creating to become what Dr. King called an engine of reconciliation. The beloved community helps expose, remove, and heals harm while also repairing relationships to those who in the past were our enemies. In review, the five defining characteristics of the beloved community are: 1. It is realistic and achievable, given that all life forms want to be safe, peaceful, and happy. 2. Conflict is resolved peacefully without generating violence, hostility, ill will, or resentment. 3. We appreciate and recognize the inherent worth and value of all people, animals, and ecosystems. 4. Love and compassion motivate us to action to reduce the suffering in the world. And 5. The means and the ends are the same, and our ultimate goal is reconciliation. Now that you have been given an overview of the Beloved community, I want to share some of the ways this idea has benefited my activism in my life. The vision of the Beloved community helps motivate me to stay active. It inspires me to maintain my daily meditation practice so I can better let go of my hatred, hostility, ill will, judgment, greed, arrogance, and other qualities that don't serve me or the Beloved community. The Beloved community inspires me to be more loving, kind, and compassionate to myself, to other activists, to the public, to our opponents, and of course to animals and other life forms. The Beloved community inspires me to embrace principled nonviolence and helps me be kinder to those who oppose me or disagree with me. The Beloved community encourages me to be more open and willing to listen when my behavior has harmed or offended someone so that I can learn and grow. The Beloved community reminds me that I don't have to do it all. You know, as activists, there is always more that we can do, and it is very easy to feel overwhelmed. But when you live in alignment with Beloved community, you are doing your part to end all injustice and violence. Creating Beloved community is a team effort and includes the work of every person and every movement working for peace, justice, and sustainability. So it just helps me be content with the part that I'm doing and really be thankful that others are doing their part as well. And lastly, the Beloved community informs me on my daily activism. As I plan an action, create policies, or work with other activists, I ask myself, how would this be done in the Beloved community? Or what would this look like in the Beloved community? And I let that understanding help shape my behavior. So those are some of the ways that I've found the Beloved community to help me. Over the next 3 months, I encourage you to regularly keep envisioning and contemplating the Beloved community and try to live in alignment with it. And as these months go on, notice how this understanding benefits your advocacy work. I hope that you will be pleasantly surprised. To wrap this talk up, I want to share a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. Love is creative and redemptive. Love builds up and unites. Hate tears down and destroys. The aftermath of the fight with fire method which you suggest is bitterness and chaos. The aftermath of the love method is reconciliation and creation of the Beloved community. Physical force can repress, restrain, coerce, destroy, but it cannot create and organize anything permanent. Only love can do that. Yes, love, which means understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill, even for one's enemies, is the solution to the race problem. And I would add that it is the solution to the animal exploitation problem and the environmental problem and all of the other problems of violence and injustice we face. Keep your eyes on the prize of Beloved community, that love may infuse your advocacy and your life. Thanks for your time and attention, and let us take a mindful pause. Thank you all so much for your time and attention today, and I wish you the best on the rest of your retreat. Take care. The Boundless Love Project thanks you for loving yourself and all life enough to listen to this recording. Please visit boundlessloveproject.org for a variety of free resources to help you live with more love and joy in your life.
at boundlessloveproject.org, you can stream or download free meditation trainings, guided meditations, mindfulness talks, and access articles and other information to help you be more peaceful, successful, and happy. We want to thank Brian Schumann of brianschumann.com for his glorious musical contributions to this recording. We offer an overflowing heart of gratitude to our generous donors for helping make this recording possible and for allowing us to distribute it freely for the benefit of all. We also offer a heartfelt thank you to you for listening. May love and wisdom protect and guide you. May you abide in a deep and lasting peace. May you know your true self to be boundless love, peace, compassion, and joy.